From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Florida State Attorney Angela Corey is vowing to retry Michael Dunn. The white software engineer was found guilty on Saturday of 3 counts of second-degree attempted murder for shooting at 3 black teenagers in their car after an argument over loud music. He could receive 3 consecutive sentences of 20 years apiece for each of those convictions.
But jurors could not agree on whether to convict Dunn of the first-degree murder of another passenger, 17-year-old Jordan Davis. So the judge declared a mistrial on that charge. And the overall verdict once again shines a spotlight on Florida's Stand Your Ground law, which says that someone confronted with deadly force outside the home does not have a duty to retreat. And it comes 7 months after another jury acquitted George Zimmerman in the deadly shooting of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. Joining us on the line to explain the verdict is David Weinstein, a Miami defense lawyer and former assistant U.S. attorney in Florida. David, welcome.
Glad to be here.
So first of all, this weekend, prosecutor Angela Corey said that she would seek a retrial in this case. Is that retrial a sure thing?
I don't think it's a sure thing. I think that was her knee-jerk reaction to the verdict that had just come out, and she's a strong prosecutor, and her initial reaction was simply to indicate that she wasn't giving up the fight and she was going to retry this case. But there's a lot more consideration that has to go into this.
Considerations such as?
Well, she has to consider the effect that it's going to have on the victim's family to drag them through this again. They've already had to relive the death of their son one time. And if there's a retrial, they're going to have to relive it again, hearing the testimony of the defendant, of the other victims in the case, and people describing what happened, and including but not limited to the medical examiner explaining how their son died.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned the effect that obviously the death of Jordan Davis and this trial has had on Jordan's family. We actually have a little bit of tape here from Ron Davis, Jordan's father, and his comments right after the verdict was read this weekend.
So he's going to learn that he must be remorseful for the killing of my son, that it was not just another day at the office. My son will never be just another day at the office where I can leave the scene and be stoic.
And Jordan Davis's father there, of course, saying he, referring to Michael Dunn there. David, you can hear the emotion and the pain there still in the voice of Jordan Davis's father. But how much of that really is going to inform what Angela Corey might do?
It's going to play a large role. Dunn is going to appeal his conviction. He's going to ask that the sentence of 20 years be run concurrent. The judge will in all likelihood sentence him to 60 years, but that's going to be an issue that goes up on appeal. If, however, they can all come to a resolution that at the age of 47, a 30 or 35-year term would be sufficient to punish Dunn for what he did and to give the victim's family some solace that their son had been considered in what takes place, that may be a resolution they can all reach, and that's something that might prevent a retrial.
Now, David, Dunn's lawyers adamantly claimed that this was an act of self-defense, and legal experts also seem to say that this wasn't a stand-your-ground case, and I'm wondering if you could help us understand why that is.
Sure. It was a self-defense case because what Dunn asserted as his defense was that he believed that he was in fear for danger of imminent bodily harm because he perceived someone to be pointing a gun at him and shooting at him and that he fired back. That's not the traditional idea that we have of stand your ground. Stand your ground, the traditional idea that we've had, is that someone was in a place that they had a right to be, they perceived something that was going on, and they didn't retreat. Dunn really didn't retreat in the situation. He was the aggressor. So that's why his lawyer's not arguing that it was a stand-your-ground type of case, but rather a self-defense case.
But, David, I understand that stand-your-ground, that terminology, showed up in the jury instructions for this case. Might that not have confused the jury a little bit?
I think that it did, and I think that that caused either one or more people on the jury to take a look at self-defense and think to themselves, well, if he was entitled to defend himself and, as everyone has said, stand your ground, he could use the force that he was entitled to, and that self-defense would defeat the accusation of first-degree murder.
Hmm. And finally, David, I mean, this is obviously not the first case, sadly, of its type that we've seen. What's your takeaway from the outcome that happened over the weekend?
It's making things more difficult for prosecutors to prove cases where a defendant has alleged that he or she was engaged in self-defense. And because now, for the second time, these cases have received a lot of notoriety, people are beginning to reevaluate what their own personal belief is about self-defense and what they would do in the same situation. And what a prosecutor has to do now when they're filing these charges, they need to make sure that they have the ammunition available to themselves, either through direct evidence, circumstantial evidence, or the ability to cross-examine a defendant, to poke holes in the self-defense and to show to the jury that not only was this belief subjectively incorrect, but that even a reasonable person wouldn't perceive this as imminent bodily harm coming their way.
Well, David Weinstein is a Miami defense lawyer and former assistant U.S. attorney in Florida. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.